Well, human beings, we're all cut from the same cloth, made in God's image and likeness, and we have different temperaments, different personalities. Some people are very expressive, you know exactly what they're thinking, feeling. They wear their heart on their arm. Other people are more stoic. You can't really get a read. Kids, they tend to be more expressive, right? They haven't learned to be subtle yet. So the school kids, for example, when they come to Mass every week, there's one little boy, he's probably 5 or 6, and every now and again, he'll give a big yawn. And there's nothing subtle about it. Usually happens when I'm preaching. And of course, when he yawns, then the rest of us yawn because there's something about it that's contagious. I have a friend that's just that way, even as an adult. You never have to guess what he's thinking. And one time he picked up this book he was going to read called The Shack. It's kind of a popular book back in the day. And he was in the other room, but I could hear him, and he's reading it. This is how he would make these sounds. And then you hear him get up out of his chair, and he walks over to the garbage can, slams the book in the garbage can, and that's the end of it. Eventually, I walked over and picked the book out and read it myself just to see what was going on in here. And it's a good marketing ploy, and it's a controversial book because it's a sad story, first of all, about a dad whose daughter is abducted and all sorts of terrible things. It's really the problem of evil. And where was God? Why didn't he do something? Why did he permit it? Why doesn't God care? And of course, God is personified, and this was the controversy, right, that God the Father was an African-American woman. Jesus is kind of who you expect, and well, the Holy Spirit is a little Asian girl. I found it to be provocative in a good way to say, God transcends anything we can think about him. And I bet each one of us probably envision him in our own unique way. And that's the whole goal, is who is God? He took all of the Old Testament to kind of get to the point where he tells us his name, I Am. And it's a word that is so holy to the Jews that they don't even say it. YHWH. You notice that we used to have some songs where we would say that name, but even those have been excluded now from our lexicon out of deference to the Jews, not to say God's name. It's so holy. We struggle. Some people, maybe we do too. We get upset, discouraged. We take his name in vain, and that's not good for us. It damages our heart. Well, anyway, who is God? We're supposed to know, love, and serve him. And the goal is to listen to the scriptures to get to know him in our head and our heart so that we can be witnesses of who he is. We're all made by him. And when we die, we're going to meet him. And we hope that we could spend eternity with him. That's why we were born. He wants that. It's up to us to want it too. What do we know about God? Well, in the burning bush, we can see how God is very gentle. When he comes into his creation, he doesn't impose himself. The bush is burning. It's a theophany, something that is not explained by science. But it's not consumed. God doesn't impose. He's not pushy. I went to a band camp one time when I was a kid, and there were all these older kids there, and mostly we just played our instruments, right? But then there was an open gym, and he had a basketball, and well, anyway, I was on the court, and this bigger kid, he was a senior, and he said, "Get off the court. I'm playing now." I wrote down his name. I have a picture of him. I'll find him someday. I'll show you that sooner or later I'm going to get him back, but that's the way we are as human beings. We push around. We have it our way. We can be really territorial. We can also be competitive in a way that's not healthy either. For example, when people get behind the wheel, it's like we have an alter ego, or maybe our true personality comes out. When somebody tries to pass us, whew, anybody tries to pass me in my Ford, if it's a Chevy or Subaru, I never take that lightly. Never. Now I'm going to speed up. God's different than us. He's not competitive in that way. He doesn't try to impose himself. He tries to win us over by love. He is always inviting. We have this sense that if God comes into my life, well, he's going to take everything. He's going to just push his way in. He's going to just dominate. How many of us, when we feel God calling us to do something, we count the cost and what we're going to give up, what we're going to lose? And we never forget that no one outdoes God in generosity. Give him a little bit of your heart and you receive more than you've given. How many of us have become priests or deacons? We're like, oh man, what am I going to have to sacrifice? And we never think about all the things we're going to get. How good God is to those who trust him. But that's where we're different than him. We have real trust issues. He comes into our world. He's not pushy. He's not imposing. He's not rude. He's very gentle. He knows how flighty we can be. A second thing we can say about him is that he's not a cop. He's not a punishing God. He's a perfect parent. He's always looking for ways to help us, heal us, set us free. And we hear in the gospel that bad things happen to bad people, so we just jump to conclusions. That happened to them, they must be bad. And of course, God, he permits us to go through consequences for our actions. The Egyptians were, well, they suffered because they had enslaved people. God, we hope he saved them through the parting of the Red Sea and their drowning, but maybe that was their baptism. God permits bad things to happen to bad people, but bad things happen to good people too. We can't always jump to conclusions. I had a friend, two friends, I had their wedding years ago. They were in town this week, and they were here because they're not having any babies, and they're really good. They're very devout. They practice their faith, and I thought, well, we'll meet for lunch, and I'll have to console them, and everywhere they go, everybody's telling them to try in vitro fertilization, which, of course, is very dangerous, and it's condemned by the church for multiple reasons, one of which is what we call eugenics. It allows us to get more kids from the fit, less kids from the unfit. Bad idea. Anyway, they were here to find some natural methods with one of the doctors in town. And instead of being sad and depressed or angry or defiant, they were full of joy and hope. They have the sense that God is going to lead us through this. He only permits things to help us, not to hurt us. He would never do that. He's a kind and a benevolent, a perfect father who wants to help his children to grow. He reigns on the just and the unjust. He doesn't punish to hurt, but he permits it sometimes as a medicine. He would never do anything to push us away, even though many times we're suspicious. The last thing we can say about God from these readings is that he wants us to grow up, right? The fig tree's not bearing any fruit, so he says, cut it down. You and I have received so much, and the more we receive, the more we have to give. And he's going to challenge us that spiritually we can be lazy. We can make excuses. Wednesday, you know, we had that snow in the afternoon and a little storm and so forth. It was a big rally, a youth rally out at the pavilion. They didn't cancel it, but of course not many people came, maybe about 50. It really was well done. But if that had been a concert or a basketball game, it wouldn't have mattered what the weather was. People would have come because that's a priority. I'm not going to miss that. It's John Bon Jovi. Anyway, that's me. But the idea is that this God, he just doesn't get the kind of attention that he deserves. He wants us to grow, to produce fruit. He wants us to be good witnesses, like that young couple who's suffering. But they're not sad and angry, but they're instruments of his peace. This is what God calls us to. It's what he asks of us, to give our best. What's that look like? I was thinking of an image this morning. Back in the day, the Buffalo Bills played in 4 Super Bowls, lost all 4 of them, kind of like the Vikings. Anyway, one year they played the Dallas Cowboys, and they were getting throttled. The game was over, and one of their defensive linemen, he picks up a fumble, and he's rumbling down, going to score a touchdown. It's inevitable. He starts showboating. He holds the football out. He didn't know this guy had run him all the way down, a guy named Don Beebe. The game was over. There was no reason to even try anymore, but this guy was giving his best. That's just sports. What about in our spiritual life? What if we started to pray, practice our faith, live more generously? What might happen to us? What might happen to others? Let's thank God for the gift that he gives. It's his son. That's why we came this morning. A little bit of snow, but that didn't keep you. You came because you wanted to be here. You wanted to thank God for the gift he's given. You want to know, love, and serve him, and help others to do the same. The best person who ever did it is our Blessed Mother Mary, the star of the new evangelization. Next weekend, there'll be a mission, an opportunity to do something extra. Father Tim Odenhoven, talk about Our Lady of Guadalupe. I hope that you'll consider coming. Come the first night. If you like it, come the second. If you like that, make it a clean sweep. We had a big mass here on Wednesday for all the school kids of the Newman system, K-12. 600 kids. And you know, they did something before Mass that was brilliant. They prayed the rosary. And by the time we came out to start Mass, everything was really peaceful. There was an openness because Mary is God's mom and she is our mother too. And she knows who God is and she'll teach us. And knowing the Lord Well, that's a source of hope, of healing. It's a source of peace.